Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
We are going to be continuing through the book of Ephesians as we are wanting and desiring to allow Paul through the scriptures, through the text, to really show us what it looks like for it to be true that Jesus is our King and what that truly impacts in our lives, so much so that he ends the letter by spiritually equipping us with an armor to protect that. And so as we're going through all of this today, I want you to be able to be present for the truth that's coming to you, but also the necessity of us staying current. So if because of your work, because of your disciplines, you're not able to be here every week, whether through the podcast, through YouTube, it's going to be so important that you get all the pieces because there's just too much for us to consume and hold on to in one setting. So today we want you to be encouraged. Janae is going to read for us Ephesians 1 again.
Ephesians 1, NIV. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, is the one who loves us. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to the things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Shalom, gallery. And good morning to everybody. It's Pastor Ellis said it was because he was on a trip, but I think I'm back because of popular demand. I thank God for the spirit of humility in this room. Yeah. Oh, and the joy that fills us all. If we could all please stand in the presence of the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Everlasting Father of glory and eternal God of grace, we bless your holy name and we give thanks unto you, because it is you, by the blood of Christ, who has assembled these people, us, your people, your children, of every tribe, of every kindred, of every tongue, O Lord, as we sit here now, a united family in Christ as one. We bless you, Lord, and we give thanks unto you for the opportunity to sit at your feet and to hear your word. We pray that you may move by your spirit in our hearts, in my heart, and anoint me, O Lord God, to speak your word so that it may be life to your people. And this life, O Lord, that is transmitted is your grace that brings us to closer unity, fellowship, oneness, and likeness in Christ Jesus our Lord. We bless you, O Lord, for every soul that is in this place, and we pray that you may till the hearts, removing the stones of distractions, O Lord, and invoke the name of Jesus that all the powers of darkness and all the enemies may be scattered now. To the praise of your glory, O Lord, our God. Be with us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so as you are all aware, we are doing a series in the book of Ephesians. And last week, Pastor Ellis took us in an overview of this book. As Paul was in the first, as he noted that the book of Ephesians is not Paul's longest or fullest letter, but it is a breathtaking overview of many subjects in which Paul talks about in some of his other letters to the other churches, and that this was not just a letter written to a certain church, but it was believed to be a letter that was to circulate amongst the churches in Ephesus so that they could all read and understand. And in that overview, we learned that something short, that Paul talks about God, Christ, the world, the church, the means of salvation, marriage, and family. So today, my task, as the Spirit will lead us, and as time will permit, is to take us through just a few verses of Ephesians, which is verses 11 through 14. And by the grace of God, we're going to touch on a few pillars hewn by God himself that is to bolster our faith in Christ as King. So that is the constant theme of what we are dealing with. If Christ is King, all that happens to the King happens to their people. If a king is besieged and taken, then the people are too held captives. So now we know that we have a Lord who reigns supreme, the Almighty God who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. So what manner of people are we? These three pillars are to help us stand fast in our identity in Christ, to no longer be pushed left and right or swayed by doctrines or cunning words or lies that the enemy may bring to deceive us, but to stand in the firmness that we are the blood bought, redeemed, sanctified, blessed, anointed, strengthened, and we walk with the Spirit of the living God every day, every moment, every trial, every situation and circumstance of life. But we must learn how to fellowship with the Spirit. So the three pillars we are touching on today, the first will be predestination. We're not going to go into a long theological debate about, you know, certain aspects of predestination, but I will read the word of God so we have it in heart and mind, that the Lord truly does things and has decided before the foundation of the world, and he has then enacted all things according to the counsel of his own will. This is the God that we serve. We serve the God who calls the end from the beginning. And he says, my word will stand. So take that, treasure it in your heart, as we learned a few weeks ago that Mary did whenever the proclamation or prophecy or the word of the Lord was spoken to her. Treasure it deeply. Understand that when God speaks, he shall do. This is the faithfulness of our God. We're reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. I read the word of the Lord. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included, us, in Christ, when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So in these three pillars, we have predestination, we have our inheritance, and then we have the Holy Spirit, who is also a part of the inheritance, but to me, as I've come to understand Scripture, is key and the most important reality and truth about being a Christian and inheriting the glory of God in Christ and all he has, what's it called, gotten for us by his blood. Beloved, we have to take a view of the riches of the glory of God. From the prophets of old from the first prophet Abraham to the prophets of old, every vision, every dream, every proclamation of Christ, who he would be, how he would come. And as Scripture tells us that they sought diligently to seek out and to understand the timing and what man it was in which the Scriptures and these prophecies spoke of. Why was that? It's because it was glorious in their sight. It was precious. It was true. It was salvation. It was something to be honored and to be kept and to be sought out diligently. And we have to have the same attitude because we are those who are now living this inheritance. The Scripture says that God has prepared for us better things than of the past because we have the fullness. They had the shadow. They had, you know, prophecies, but we have the prophet himself. We have Christ Jesus, the good and the true and the faithful witness who walks with us daily, keeping us. We have to treasure these things. We have to know our inheritance, and we have to see its worth in order that we may seek to possess what is set before us and not cast it off to the side or see it of no value and then miss out on the life that God has for us. Because in predestination, there is what God has determined he would do that is behind us. It flows like a hope to us. We have not seen, but yet we believe. And it strengthens us. It gives us a basis, a foundation for which we walk forward and in the present time. And there is the now with the Spirit who is with us, bringing to life all of these things, pointing to the truth of Scripture, making sure that we understand and see clearly. That is why Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may have the spirit of revelation, that we may walk seeing and knowing these things as clear as God will reveal them to us. And we must have that and possess it in full. And then there is what God has declared he will do in the future from the beginning, and that he will save us, he will redeem us, he will give us a holy city. It is in the same way which he did with the children of Israel. He set before them a hope. He told them, I will give you this land. And then, no matter what happened from the time of the proclamation to the fulfillment of what the Lord had declared, his faithfulness was seen day and night and at every moment in which he acted in their lives. And there's also a stark warning for us concerning the children of Israel. It says that though God brought them out of the land of Egypt, just as God has brought us out of sin, we ought to take heed of the warnings, because in the past, every unjust act was met with a just punishment. And we do not want to be those who, with lacking faith and disobedience, and who turn from God or who don't value the inheritance that the Lord has set before us, miss out on the promises that we ought to live now in our lives. There is a way to apprehend the blessings that God has declared for you. We are preparing for the year 2025. We're in week 2. It's like, what are we going to do in order to see and to be ready to claim, to live, and to prepare for all the blessings that the Lord has for Gallery, for every individual? How do we obtain these things? So we have to put our faith in the God who speaks from the beginning. We have to be those who can walk by the faithfulness of God. something that the Lord had told me that I'd like to share with you guys is that your faith has to be as strong and steadfast as the word of the Lord is true, because that is the basis for which you believe. We can do nothing without the word of God. We can do nothing without the Spirit. We can do nothing without the anointing. Everything we see, we hear, everything we are living now as Christians has come to us by revelation of his word. In the old, he spoke by prophets. Now he speaks by his Son from heaven. The King of glory, the Most High God, Christ Jesus the Lamb seated at the right hand of majesty, whose sacrifice was approved by the Father so that he may be glorified and exalted to the place where he had status before. This is our King. So what manner of people are we? What a glorious kingdom we are a part of. What power we possess. We are given an inheritance in Christ in that the Spirit of the living God has also been added to us. He has been given. Christ said to his apostles, he's told them, do not move. Do not attempt anything. Wait for the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, you will receive power. But why? To be witnesses from Judea to Jerusalem to Samaria and to all over the world where we are now. Far from the east, we stand and we proclaim the word of the Lord. We declare the righteousness of our God in the acts that we do and how we live towards one another. This is part of our inheritance. We have to know. We have to understand. We have to see the working of the Lord deep within us, and we have to partake in it. It is not just a simple yes and amen. A yes and amen is founded and rooted on the charge of obedience. There must be obedience. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? That duality should not be. We ought to be the people who have seen and have tasted that the Lord is good, and therefore, by the strength of the hope set before us, we too endure our sufferings as Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross for us, that our joy may be full, that we may stand exalting the Lord no matter the circumstances or the situations, because we know faithful is our God. And that he who began a good work in us shall complete it. I would like us to read John chapter 6, verse 44, concerning the Lord God who predestines. It reads, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. I will raise them up on the last day. Promise. And throughout Scripture, we constantly see this. God will declare and he will demonstrate himself. He will promise and he will fulfill, because he is faithful. And we are called to be the same. And he sets a hope before us that strengthens and edifies. Because many times, as we've known in life, you can be attempting to do something, but once you lose the glimmer of the result, the joy of what's the reason, the why, it crushes you. It becomes purposeless, meaningless. But we know that the God who called us will fulfill what he has determined to do in us and through us, through Christ Jesus. And it is for the praise of the glory of his grace. The mercies of the Most High God, the undeserving riches. We have to think. Now the scripture says we see dimly, as though through a tinted glass. We're talking the Spirit of glory, of righteousness, of truth, the Spirit of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. Power, honor, the Spirit will come upon you, have power to heal the sick, raise the dead, being conformed to the likeness of Christ, and yet we are still seeing dimly. How rich is our inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. How much we should seek to know and to understand and how to apprehend and to live in this blessedness that God has afforded for us. We have to take heed and we have to devote ourselves with a certain dedication to show God we value what it is that he has done for us. There has to be that exchange. God does, and I love how in Scripture there are always therefores. Because God has said, or because Christ has done, or because we have been redeemed, therefore, be a people of righteousness, therefore circumcise your hearts, therefore, you know, undo the burden, shake off the weights that easily beset us. And this will be seen in how we deal and interact with each other. The call of God is love. We must love. The inheritance, the promises, and the Spirit given to us, it is yes, so that we can see signs and wonders, miracles, but Scripture gives us a stark warning. If you do not have love, you are nothing. Nothing. Paul, who himself says that he was, what's the word? Done. He was done with as he checked his own righteousness. Born a Jew of a certain sect of the Pharisees, studied, well-educated, zealous to the point of hunting Christians down with a smile. Yet he was undone. We have to see ourselves with that humility. No matter what we have and what we are doing, God calls for us to be people of love, to cherish one another, to break down the bond, the boundaries and the barriers that separate us, whether it is culture, whether it is finances, school, education, no matter what it is, we are a people to walk in humility, grace, empathy, love, generosity, caring for one another, considering one another greater than ourselves, the sacrifice that comes from love, the community built by the strength of God's love. Think about what a crime it would be if we got to heaven and you didn't know somebody in this room's name after years. You didn't know a small or greater detail about their life because you simply didn't care, or you were too nervous, or you were too afraid. But I have to let you know that God calls for us to step beyond those boundaries, to extend love to one another. A hello, a goodbye, a how are you doing, a checking on, not just simple conversations, but felt and meant in the heart that we truly care for each other. This is the hope for which we are called. God is calling us to be a holy and a sanctified people. He has determined it in past. He said, I will place my Spirit upon them. He will forget our iniquities and there will be no more. But why? Because we are to be a light to the world. In the knowledge, in the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to shine bright in showing the world what is the true definition of love. God is love. Christ is love. And no greater love does anyone have than this but to offer their lives for their friends. And that is us in this room. And also to give our lives in the service of the Lord, to then therefore bring many more into the fold and the flock of God. There are people we pass by on the street that need the word that's in you. They need to hear the truth. They need to see the kindness of the Lord through you. Though they may antagonize you, we are called to be a people of peace, peace that surpasses understanding. It is a peace that we ought to possess and walk by. This is part of our inheritance in the Lord. It is a character. It is the supernatural and the divine nature of God by the Spirit who dwells in us. It is for us to then grow into the maturity of Christ and to continue to excel in it by demonstrating Christ Jesus as the loving, the true God, the righteous Lord that he is. And we have to keep that in mind. If Christ is our King and his law is by which we are bound, we must then live according to his precepts and his principles, looking forward to the hope he has set before us and also enduring as he endured. From the predestination to the inheritance, none of this is possible without the Spirit of the living God. We would not see, we would not understand, we would not taste. Our hearts would not be transformed to receive the joy of the Lord, the kindness, the goodness, the word of the Lord implemented in our souls if it were not for the Spirit who grants us humility. We have to learn to honor the Spirit who dwells within us. We must keep our bodies in sanctification. We must not grieve the Spirit or quench him. When the Spirit is moving you to love or to act or to do something that is uncomfortable, it is best and it is a command to obey. We have to walk by that. How do we do that? By spending a lot of time in the presence of the Lord, by giving time of entertainment and leisure to the Lord. Is he not worthy?
Has he not done enough? How much more do we need Christ crucified again with our very own eyes to see and behold, to then therefore be moved by the agony of the Lord? It's like, no, because the Spirit brings to revelation all of these things into the depth of our hearts. It's a wonderful mystery that we can stand neither having seen nor experienced the crucifixion of Christ and yet be so determined that it is true. That is the power of the Spirit. He who made the Most High an infant is the same one who dwells within us. The Spirit is the Lord, and the Lord is with us. That is where our compassion and our strength, our zeal for the house of God, that is where it comes from, the Spirit of the living God. And in this, we have to be taken from immaturity to maturity. We have to set aside and behind us the things of old. We were once children, but now we are grown, and we must behave as those who have come to understand Christ with age and time spent in his presence and in his word. I would like for us to read Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord reads, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and from faith in God and faith of God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Why does Paul call us to maturity? Because the mature glorify the Lord as King in a way where a child could not. There is an understanding and a walk and a demonstration that you begin to have as you mature in Christ that only those who spend quality time with the Spirit of the Lord in prayer, in fasting, in reading the Word, which we are also going to do as a church, is incorporate a time of fasting towards the end of January so that we may seek the Lord truly, that we may experience and savor what it is that the Most High wants to speak to his people. Remember that the Lord sits high and looks low. What grace, what generosity. He wants to move, he wants to bless, he wants to do all of these things. But are we giving him the time and attention to water us, to mature us, to bring us to greater depth in Christ Jesus so that our joy may be full? We read the word of the Lord in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. This is the mentality of maturity. This is what we are called to think as Christ thought, "Father, thy will be done." To consider things as Paul considered them, as an example of a man who matured in Christ. The word of God reads, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Do we live with that determination? Can it be testified of us that we have so devoted ourselves to our Lord, who has devoted himself to us, loving us unto the very end so that we may see life, and not just any life, but the newness of life, eternal joy, eternal glory in the presence of the Lord. Now, not just then, but now. The inheritance is now as well as it will be then. So are we living with this mentality of maturity? Is it conforming our decisions about life, about family, about friends, about where we are going and what we are doing and how we are planning the days that the Lord has given us? This is for the glory of the King. Remember, you exist for the praise of his glory. If you live in a mentality that is contrary to that, you are walking against God's will. It is a, I would say, a dishonorable thing to disrespect and to insult someone, and then to a king at that, and then to then therefore go to them for blessing, for help. We all know those people in our lives. They will show up when they need our help, but they do not care to even text us a simple good morning or hello, or how are we doing? We cannot have this attitude or this heart towards our Lord, because our bond is love. In Christ, we are love. We don't just possess love, but we are light, and that light is love. All who say they know him must walk as he walked, and that is love. A love that this world cannot understand, but will see, and as God, by his own grace and sovereignty, will open the eyes of many to that love, and to know that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that they too may desire this hope. Those who are called and predestined may see and understand by your move and by your walk that the Lord is true. And having tasted, they will then seek to be a part of the family and get their inheritance. Another scripture that speaks to maturity is Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. And the word of the Lord reads, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. To know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection, that is, both the resurrection in which we put our faith in, and it is the resurrection that is to come. We have so long been in the church that do we really stop to consider what it means to be raised from the dead? What power it takes? There are people who, Christians, who have been burned at the stake. Some have been chopped to bits and cast. Others tortured and boiled in different ways, but yet God will piece together their very body and bring them back from the dead. This is the God who raises the dead and calls those things which are not into being as though they are. We can put our faith in him when he proclaims something in our lives. In this year 2025, we can trust this Lord, our God, and we can seek to exalt him and glorify him as the true and the living, loving, personal God that he is, because he has constantly demonstrated and proven it to us. We have to walk in this mentality, beloved. We have to seek to be those who glorify, to commune with the Lord in understanding these mysteries. This is our inheritance. The scripture says, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. We, the little children. Christ even blessed the Father and said, I thank you because you have revealed it to these little children and not to the wise. Seek the Lord. Seek to know the Lord. Persevere in it. Know your inheritance. See what it is that God has called you to, and let's live in it. Because as one is blessed, so are the many. That is how the Lord works. He blesses so that it may multiply. God works by the power of multiplication. Always, he adds and he gives, and then he says they will produce 30, 60, 100-fold. We want to be those who produce the fruit that endures, because this is what we're called to. As we read the scriptures throughout our lives and throughout the week, you're going to see that there are just these blessings and these proclamations and what the Lord has declared that he will do. This is your portion in Christ, and we have to live it. And we have to have the character that God is willing to trust us with whatever it is that he's going to give us in this year and the years to come. A great deal of this inheritance is our conformity to the glory and the personhood of Jesus. Consider what it is to be called a co-heir of the King of Glory, a co-heir of the throne of the universe, a co-heir of all things in Christ Jesus. And this is signed and sealed by the blood of Christ.
God will not turn away from this. Christ, as he intercedes, he says, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. This too is our portion. We serve a Lord who is always heard by the Father. Let that strengthen your prayers as you pray to see the hand of the Lord. Understand that kindness and that love and that Christ has done all things and has been sealed before the Lord as perfect and righteous, and that his sacrifice has been accepted, so that when you come in the name of Jesus, you are heard by the Almighty God with open ears. He has his ears turned on to the righteous, every single one of us. We have to turn our minds from, the deceit of the enemy, as though we are nothings, as though even though life is pressing us, that we can turn to self-loathing and we can turn to self-pity and begin to wallow. It's like, no, there is a Lord and there is a God who seeks for you to turn to him. He says, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. That is our inheritance in Christ. We have this free and full, so that we may experience the same joy that was in Christ. He wants his joy to be our joy. And we are talking about the blessed God, the God who is forever and eternally happy. We all could use some happiness in our lives and a joy that abides. But this is how it's done. It's done by sowing to the Spirit. It's done by keeping in step with the Spirit. It is done indeed as we continue to strive and to, yes, there will be struggles. Yes, there will be hardships. But the Lord has promised that those who keep their minds on Christ, he will grant them peace, true peace. Amen. Let the waves rage. Let the enemy come from darkness. Stand fast in the Lord and understand that God loves you and that he has determined himself for you. He will fight your battles. He will grant you strength. He will make it happen. He will change and move the circumstances. He is the master of time and circumstances. The wisdom it takes to govern all things according to your purpose and your will, and the power, we can trust this God. And we can see that we have a blessed and true expectation and hope and inheritance in him. Glory to the Lord Most High, and blessed be his name. Beloved, we need to be filled and keep being filled. This is how we are going to live in the blessedness of our inheritance. Like I said before, we must not quench the Spirit, but we must learn how to live and to honor the Spirit. Remember that the Spirit is the Lord. How would you treat a magistrate, a president who entered your home, who now lives with you? Consider that. Consider how we call the angels those who will serve, their ministering spirits who serve those who are called, you know, to the inheritance. They too are around you. What do they see? Are you honoring the Lord? Are you living with the Spirit in a way that says hallelujah and glory to the Most High God? Are we walking in sanctification? The only way we are sanctified is through the obedience of the truth. The word will stay where it is until we pick it up, until we read and we meditate, until we understand and we strive to understand, and we do the tilling and the hard work it takes to see and to receive and to believe. Remember that faith is conviction. It is a mentality and an attitude that is unwavering. This is the faith that the Lord gives us, because your faith has to be as strong as the word of God is true. He has said it. It is true. He cannot lie. He does not deceive. No lie was found in his mouth. So every promise, all workings, they are true. Trust in the Lord. Glorify God. Live a life that honors, that blesses. In action and in deed, the scripture tells us that we must love in deed and in truth. The true love, the merciful love, the kindness, the patience, the long-suffering. We all have faults and defaults. That is why we need love. We need forgiveness, and we need to forgive each other. We need to be quick to it. That is maturity. Amen. How many things has God held against you? How many sins does he hold in his mind concerning you? Or does he not call you to say, repent?
and be healed and washed by the blood of Christ. Confess your sins. Confess your sins to one another. Live in this grace and in this hope. Learn to tame the tongue so that we may speak life. And that is not just the proclamation of, I speak life over you. No, it is speaking what is true out of love. It is living what is true out of love. And it is the continuous hope of glory which enables us and empowers us to do this. Because, beloved, if there is no hope, then there is no reason to live a righteous life. We will all be condemned and destroyed. Let every man go his way. And that is how some of the Israelites lived. So I end with this. It said, when Israel had no king, every man did according to his own heart and what they thought. Chaos, selfishness, greed, destruction, murder. That is all that you see in the world. But God has called you in Christ to receive a blessedness that your king rules with a scepter of righteousness. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Let us stand, please, and we're going to pray. I hope that you truly remember in your days, in times of sorrow, in times of just when you're not feeling too good, when you're down in spirit, remind yourself, I am predestined. I am loved of the Most High God. Truly, truly, God cannot lie. I am blessed. I am redeemed. I am sanctified. I am washed. I am treasured. The ears of the Lord are attentive to my prayers. The Most High looks down upon my life and seeks that I will commune and fellowship with him day and night. Oh, to fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, to walk by the blessedness. It's better than that which Adam had experienced. Adam walked with God, but God dwells in us. The scripture says that the Spirit of God was not yet given, in that which Christ was talking about when he said, come unto me, all you who are weary and who thirst. He was speaking of the Spirit that had not yet been given. And scripture affirms us that we have the better than what was before, the Spirit of the living God. Be strengthened, be edified. Fill your mind and your heart with the promises and the hope that the Lord has declared in scripture and in your personal life. Go back, write it down, consider it, and remember that the Lord is faithful and he will accomplish it. Father, we thank you. And we bless and exalt your holy name in Christ Jesus our Lord. For you are worthy to be praised and to be adored. For you have shown us your hand of favor. You have been merciful to us. You have forgiven us, washed us, cleansed us. Not only so, Lord, but you have conformed us and birthed us new unto a living hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have given us your Spirit, the precious promise indeed, the Spirit, hallelujah, who has dwelt with you forever, who is God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of might and of counsel, of wisdom, that we may live in the manifold wisdom of God, the wisdom that is true, the wisdom that is pure, holy, undefiled, and that we may live a glorious, blessed, benevolent, generous life, being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus our Lord, because you predestined before the foundation of the world that we be conformed to the glory and the image of your Son, who is the brightness of your glory and the exact image and representation of your person. So we are being conformed to your likeness, and we are grateful, O Lord. We thank you for the blessings you work in our lives. We thank you for what this week will determine and mean for us. We give you glory, O Lord, that we have been assembled here to hear your word, and that it is you who seeds it in our hearts, who watches over it and helps us to guard it so that it may bear much fruit, the fruit that would bring joy and peace, not only to us, but to brother, to sister, to kindred, to stranger on the street, to neighbor, O Lord. May all see and taste of the fruit of your word abiding and living in us. Your word declares, I write unto you, young men and women, because you are strong. Because the word of the Lord abides in you. That is what we need. Open our eyes by your Spirit. Grant us strength. Grant us healing, O Lord, from trauma, from blockages, from anything, O Lord God, that is hindering our eyes and our hearts from the yes and the amen of these beautiful, glorious realities that you have bought for us through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hosanna in the highest to you. Be exalted, O God. We give you thanks and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.